So a very warm and hearty welcome to our symposia on a new instrument and selected results on measuring comprehensive general health literacy of general populations in 17 countries from the European region of the World Health Organization. In this symposia, we're actually presenting results on cannot be with us today due to some illness reason. And my name is Christa Strassmayr. I am the organizational coordinator of the International Coordination Center of HLS-19. And I would take over those parts that Jürgen would have made. And I would like to already apologize that I might not do as well as he would do as a principal investigator. But I hope you forgive us. And this has been rather short notice to jump in and take over his part. So basically, we have I'll show you the next slide just to give you an overview on today's symposium. We will have a short introduction on the HLS study. Then we have the first presentation, which is on construction, validation, and distribution of the scores and categories of the HLS Q12 tool. And this will be done by Thomas Link from the Austrian Public National Health Institute. Then we have a second presentation where we show results. Yeah, we show results on determinants of HL and on social gradient for health literacy. This I will do the lead on it. And then we have another presentation from our colleague Dominika Mixova, which is also from the Austrian National Public Health Institute, on results concerning associations of health literacy with indicators for lifestyle, health status, and healthcare utilization. Eva Behrens from the University of Bielefeld will be doing the moderation. Thank you, Eva, for supporting us. So some introduction wording on the HLS-19 project. So the HLS-19 project is the first project of MPOL network, which was founded in 2018 and which aims at measuring population health literacy. And the HLS-19 project, HLS Health Literacy Survey is what it stands for, is based on the previous study, which is the HLS-U study. And from this HLS-U study, we also took and built on the definition of health literacy. We built on the integrative conceptual and generic model, and also on the HLS-U matrix for defining domains and information management tasks on health literacy. And we further developed, Vienna model on health literacy, where it comes for defining determinants and consequences. So maybe just a few words on these principles of the study. So health literacy is linked to literacy and encompasses people's knowledge, motivation, and competences to access, understand, appraise, and apply health information in order to make judgment and take decisions in everyday life concerning healthcare, disease prevention, health promotion to maintain or improve quality of life during the life course. So health literacy is always a mix of individual skills and the ability and demands and complexities of a situation. And also for the matrix, we have always three domains that we rely on, which is healthcare, disease prevention, health promotion, and four aspects of health-related information management. And on this, our HLS-19 instrument was built on the previous HLSU tool, but being further developed, and there have been some changes made, and we will say something about it a few minutes later. So giving a few more details on the HLS-19 study. So the main research question was on how are different health literacy measures distributed and how are they associated with relevant correlates on which are determinants or which are possible consequences of health literacy. We have, as a study design, a cross-sectional national surveys which have been administered by the national agencies. We focused on resident population, adult 18 plus, so we have adult population. We use probability samples, and we said thousands should be definitely sampled, but actually we have 1,000 to 5,600 people in nations. So the data collection was started in the first country in November 2019 and was done by the last country that joined us in May 2021. So there's a one missing. And altogether, we have 17 countries participating, and we are really excited about this. So this was Austria, Belgium, Bulgaria, Switzerland, Czech Republic, Germany, Denmark, France, Hungary, Ireland, Israel, Italy, Norway, Portugal, Russia, Slovakia, and Slovenia. So the instrument, well, you will hear in a minute more from Thomas, was developed in English based on the HLLEU study. But as I already said, there have been some changes. Item wording has been changed. Response categories have been changed. It was translated in 16 countries, whereas in some countries it was translated to more than one national language. For example, in Israel, there was Hebrew and Arabic translation, also in Russian one. In Switzerland, we have German, French, and Italian translations. And the tool that was used for measuring general health literacy could have been used in a short version, which is the Q12, and which is also what we focus on the results today. But there was also the possibility to measure a Q16 scale and a long version, which has 47 items. Of course, we have correlates. One specific aspect in HLS-19 was that the countries had a lot of choice. They could take some core correlates, but they also could use some further optional correlates. So we have some variation in the countries, which is maybe something very difficult about this study, but at the same time, it was also a chance to have as many countries as possible in. Data collection, preferred methods of data collection was personal interviews, but finally, and especially due to the corona pandemic, we had quite a mix. We had two countries doing puppy, one country doing cuppy. We had five cuddy countries, four CAVI countries, and we had actually five countries who did mixed data collection, for example, combining CAVI and CATI, or combining CAPI and CAVI. So now, last point from me before I hand over. For data analysis, we focused on validation of the instrument using confirmative factor analysis, did some rash analysis. We will show distributions, and associations will be shown with correlations and regression analysis. And that's all for a first overview. And I would like to hand over to Thomas Link and say thank you for listening for this just short overview.
Thank you, Christa, for your introduction. So Thomas will now take over and present the results on construction, validation, and distribution of the instrument.
Well, thank you very much. So in the following, I will present to you the score, the instrument, and how it worked in the HLS-19 study. So as Christa has mentioned before, the HLS-19 Q12 can be seen as a short form of the HLS-EU Q47 with some restrictions. So, but as a short form, it inherits the conceptual model, the definition and the metrics of the HLS-EU Consortium for Comprehensive Health Literacy. Christa has already described this matrix. Here we have two dimensions. So the topic of health literacy is structured in two dimensions. On the one dimension, we have healthcare, disease prevention, and health promotion. And on the other dimension, we have ways to deal with health information, to find, understand, evaluate, and to apply information. The short form, so the HLS-19 Q12 instrument was developed using the data from the HLS-EU study that contained included data from the 8 countries in the core study and 2 additional countries who contributed the data later on. It was constructed by means of a polytomous regression analysis that was used to identify the item that fitted best or represented best each cell and to confirm the unidimensionality of the scale. There were some deviations from the old HLS-EU study, though. So Christa has already mentioned that for a few items, the wording has changed as a learning from the old study. And there was also a change in the response categories. So in the HLS-EU study, the categories were easy, rather easy, rather difficult, and difficult. And in the HLS-19 study, this was changed to very easy, easy, difficult, and very difficult. And there were also some changes in the way the score is calculated and in the way the levels of health literacy were calculated. But these I will explain later on. So in the following, I will present the results from the HLS-19 study. In this presentation, I will focus on the distribution of the items, on the distribution of the score, and on the psychometric quality of the HLS-Q12 as a scale to measure comprehensive health literacy in a general adult population. On the left-hand side, you see a line diagram, each that depicts the combined the difficulty of each item as combined percentage of the response categories difficult and very difficult. Each country is represented by one line. There are two important findings here. First of all, the ordering of the items is more or less the same for all countries. There are, of course, deviations, but you can easily see a trend. And also there's some variation, so in the difficulty of the items. So there are easier items and the more difficult items, which is also important for constructing a scale that works well to measure health literacy. On the right-hand side, you see what we prefer to call the average percentage response patterns. So here you see how often a response category was chosen in this set of 12 items. You see that the category very difficult was rarely chosen. So overall, only for 3%. In 3% chose of the items, the category was chosen. And this hints that the items probably were too easy in the context of this study. And there's some discussion going on why this could have happened. And there's a theory that it could have happened because due to the use of telephone interviews and that the method of telephone interviews had the consequence that that people tended to rather choose categories very easy and easy. So this is one theory why the items could have been too easy, or some items in general. So you can also see the dominance of easy and very easy here, because so the more than half of the bars are green and yellow. So this easily depicts, allows you to see this dominance of easy and very easy categories. If you look at the distribution of the scores, so the score was calculated simply as the percentage of items with valid responses that were answered very easy and easy, provided that at least 80% of the items contained valid responses. This score was calculated for the general health literacy, that is all 12 items, and then for the subscores, that it is, if you remember the matrix, that is either the rows or the columns that represent a subscore of health literacy. So if you look at the diagrams, you can easily see that most for most countries, or for all countries, the distribution is rather left skewed, with the only sole exception of the German data, where it is approximately, or it tends to the middle, so it's approximately symmetric, more or less. But for most other countries, the distribution is really heavily skewed, which also is a hint at the items being too easy. So this is probably some room of improvement here. We also compared the short form, the Q12, with the Q47 for the countries that included the Q47 in the questionnaires. And you can see that the correlation of these two scores is above 0.9 for all countries, more or less. Above 0.9, so we can say that the short form and the long form actually measure the same thing. And for the subscores, you can see that the correlation coefficients have lower values. And so for the subscores, the short form didn't work that well, but I will come back to that later on. If you look at the mean scores, again, for this general health literacy score and for the subscores, you can see that there are some differences for some subscores. For example, disease prevention has a lower average score, so it was slightly more difficult than the other subdimensions, or also as the Q12 in general, as a general health literacy score. Oops, I'm sorry. So for some analysis, it is preferable to assign the respondents to groups or to levels of health literacy. Here, with the names of the health of these levels were taken from the old HLS EU study. That is excellent, sufficient, problematic, and inadequate health literacy. And the way these levels were constructed was changed with respect to the HLS-EU study. So in order to be assigned to the group of excellent health literacy, at least half of the items had to be answered with very easy, and at most 1/12 of the items could have been difficult or were difficult. For sufficient health literacy, 10/12 of the items had to be very easy or easy. For inadequate health literacy, it is simply the reverse from the excellent. So above half of the items had to be very difficult or difficult, and at most 1/12 was accepted to be very easy. As problematic health literacy was defined, the people who were neither excellent, sufficient, or inadequate. With respect to the internal consistency of this scale, we see that for most countries, de facto for all countries, the Kronberg alpha is above 0.7, which is the often cited threshold used in the literature. But the 0.7 is not a hard cutoff value, but rather a guideline. And we also have to take into account that these Kronberg alpha values were constructed from the dichotomous values. So if we construct the alpha value on basis of the original polytomous values, then the Kronberg alpha coefficient values would be higher. So I think we can state that for all countries, the Kronberg alpha is sufficiently high for the general health literacy score. For the sub-dimensions, the Kronberg alpha is often lower than 0.7. This also is a result of the sub-dimensions containing only three to four items, and for lower number of items, we expect the Kronberg alpha to be lower. So, but we can conclude that the sub-dimensions didn't work that well, but for the general health literacy score, we can say that the Kronberg alpha, the internal consistency of the item set, is sufficiently high. We also conduct a confirmative factor analysis. We did a single factor model, so with one latent variable, that was the general health literacy, and with the 12 items loading on this latent variable. As you can see in the table below, there are the fit indices. There are various fit indices, and these fit indices indicate a good fit across all countries, with the sole exception maybe of Belgium data, but it's just for one fit index. And for the others, also the Belgium data would indicate a good fit. So we would state that the confirmative factor analysis indicates a good fit for all countries for the general health literacy score. For further revisions of the instrument, could be also interesting to look at the parameters on the loading factors, if they differ across countries or if they are consistent across countries. And there's here some items where the loadings differ considerably. So it would be interesting to discuss with the country leads whether there's an explanation for this, but this is could be interesting in a further iteration of the model. But for now, we would say that the confirmative factor analysis indicate a good fit across all countries. I would also like to say thanks to the Norwegian team and an external Austrian team who conducted a rational analysis for the HLS 19 Q12. And they concluded that the HLS Q12 is sufficiently unidimensional and with no observed problematic response dependencies. It has sufficient reliability for measuring health literacy at the population level, and that the response categories work sufficiently well and that they are ordered. There are some limitations though, so as mentioned before, the results were influenced by the survey mode, that is the survey method, whether it was a personal interview, a telephone interview, or a web-based interview. And so in some situations, for the calculation of this course, it was there was the question whether it could be problematic to use the same cutoff values for all countries. This is something that should be discussed in a further iteration of the instrument. And for some countries, the collected data could have better psychometric qualities. But here we also have to keep in mind that the surveys that were included in the study differed with respect to the quality of the data, and that there were some differences in the survey methods. So this is something that should be taken into consideration when further improving the instrument in the future. Also, the Norwegian team recommended to do a data-driven revision of the HLS Q12 instrument, and to refine some items. And they also pointed out that some items display a differential item functioning, especially with respect to the respondent's age. And as I mentioned before, that the items were too easy in general, at least for these surveys that are collected here, that are collected in the context of this study. So it would be advisable to maybe replace some items with more difficult items. But in general, despite these deviations, they also conclude that the HLS Q12 is a unidimensional scale and a valid instrument to measure health literacy. So in summary, we can say that the internal consistency of this new instrument is sufficiently high for all countries, that the unidimensionality of the scale was established by means of the confirmative effect analysis and the ratio analysis, and that the short form correlates sufficiently high with the long form, with the Q47. It should be noted that the distribution of the scores, at least in the surveys that were conducted in the course of the HLS-19 study, that the distribution of the score is heavily skewed. And to some extent, this can be seen as an effect of dichotomizing the items for calculating the score. So if we used a score based on the polytomous items, this skewedness would have been a little bit attenuated. But in conclusion, we can say that the Q12 is a valid instrument for measuring comprehensive general health literacy in the general adult population. But, and there's a but, the short form didn't work that well for the subdimensions of the Q12. So if there's an explicit interest in the subdimensions, one probably would want to use the long form instead. So that was everything from my part. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas, for your presentation. Are there any questions
regarding this question?
Yes, Gemma, please.
Does anybody know why Spain didn't participate in this study?
I might not have the complete answer to this, but I think there was interest, and basically, it was also, I think it's also always an issue of getting funds at the right time when a project starts. But Spain is a member of the EMPOL consortium, and one of the aims of EMPOL on the long run is to do HLS survey on a periodic in periodic intervals, which would mean there's a good chance to have Spain in the next run.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? I don't see any question popping up. I have one additional question, Thomas. Although you made clear that the Q12 version is limited in regard to the subdimensions, but you showed the results slide on the scores across the countries. Would you say that there are any general trends already seeable regarding specific steps of information processing or the domains that might be worth looking into in general, or that pose most problems when dealing with health information?
Well, we haven't looked yet into the subdimensions in detail yet. Our focus was the general health literacy score and the social gradient, to find social gradients for the health literacy score. But up to now, we were focusing on the general health literacy on solely. So,
okay, thank you.
This yet.
So, any other questions? This does not seem to be the case. So I suggest to move forward and Christa will now present the results on determinants of health literacy and the social gradient for health literacy based on the HLS-19 results.
Okay, just get this started from the beginning. Okay. Thank you, Eva, for giving the word to me. I'm doing this again on behalf of Jürgen Bailey-Kahn, on behalf of Eva, who is our moderator, Doris Schäfer from the University of Bielefeld, Thomas and Dominika, and of course for the full HLS-19 consortium. Giving some background, some of it I already mentioned in the introduction, that we are building on the integrative generic model and the Vienna model of health literacy as a theoretical framework for selecting our determinants. And one background was also to see what happened in HLS-EU. And in HLS-EU, there was a social gradient which was demonstrated with financial deprivation, self-assessed level of society, education, age, and gender as predictors for general health literacy. And now our research question in HLS-19 was, is there a social gradient for general health literacy? And how strong are the included determinants as predictors? The determinants we selected were gender, age. Gender, we just use male and female. Age, we used 7 groups, and of course it was used in years, especially for regression analysis. We used education, where we relied on ISCED categories, and using altogether 9 categories, and then for analysis, combining them partly to 4 categories. We had level in society on 10 groups and financial deprivation, where we built an index out of 3 questions and then show it in 4 categories. Further indicators as determinants were migrant background and also long-term illness. First, I would like to show you some associations for each of these correlates, just to get an overview. And you can see that as for gender, that women have a slightly higher health literacy, except for 2 countries, which is Hungary and Portugal. But maybe let me say something generally. Especially in this study, we are interested in overall trends across countries. And of course, there are sometimes deviations or differences by countries, but we cannot give reasons for causality. This is something that national countries have to actually find out in their own analysis. Yeah? So here we are looking at overall trends. Then if you see on the right-hand side, you see age in 7 groups. And here again, we have a rather non-linear association, while in most countries actually being older means having less health literacy or having limited health literacy. Then looking at level of society, what is the association of general health literacy with level of society? We have measured 10 levels of society, and here we can see quite a more or less linear association, and we can see that the higher the level in society, the more health literacy we have with people. And of course, again, we have the one or other deviation where it would be, of course, of interest in the countries to find out what is the reason for it. For group of education on the right-hand side, we have considerable variation by country. Again, less health literacy for those who have lower education mostly. Financial deprivation shows, except for a few exceptions, shows quite a good picture of a linear association. And we see that people who have more severe financial problems have lower health literacy. And for migrant background, we have a very mixed pattern. And so we can see that the association is not really linear. And here we have chronic illness, associations for chronic illness. We can, it's quite shown very nicely that people who have no chronic illness have higher health literacy. People with one chronic illness have less, and the more chronic illness somebody has, the less health literacy is actually. So looking at the Spearman correlation between general health literacy and selected determinants for the average for all countries, we can see that for socio-demographic and socio-economic indicators that were used, that these are partly correlated with each other. This can be especially seen for, let's see if I can do this with my mouse, for financial deprivation with education, we have here minus 0.21, and also financial deprivation with level of society, which is minus 39. Level of society and education is also quite highly correlated, and very interesting also long-term illness and age. Also here, I think it's interesting, but it's not surprisingly actually. So now when we want look at the Spearman correlation between general health literacy and selected determinants for the countries. So we can see that in all countries, except for one, for Belgium, we have a very strong negative correlation with financial deprivation, which you can see here. And so people with financial deprivation have lower health literacy. We have a negative correlation for long-term illness. And also here we have it quite continuously in all countries. And we have level in society, is mostly except in one case, actually a positive correlation. So I think these are the main main results to focus on this. Looking at the regression models, I just show you three models now before I go over to the conclusions or the summing up. Here we have a model where we have five determinants. And again, on average, financial deprivation is shown as the strongest predictor, of course, with quite some variation from minus 0.15 to 0.32. We have, you can also see level in society having an important influence, being an important predictor. Age and gender do work quite differently in countries. And here we have now a model where we include migration. And actually, you can see on the mean, on the overall, that we do not really have an effect that or we cannot really, migration does not really explain general health literacy on average. Looking in the countries, there is some explanation, but basically we also conclude that our tool was not the best tool to conclude on migration, because in most countries the tool was administered in the national language, and here of course it would need to be translated into migrant languages. Some countries did it, but this is not in this result integrated. And here we would like to show you the influence of long-term illness. So we have the model 3, we have the same 5 predictors as before, and we included long-term illness. And for long-term illness, we actually can see that long-term illness predicts lower health literacy with a average mean of minus 0.07. And also for some countries, like in Portugal, we have a very high effect if people have one or more long-term illnesses. So coming to the discussion and conclusions, maybe for discussion, if we compare our results with the results of the HLS EU study that was done about 10 years ago, there we had a remarkable social gradient. We had strong predictor being financial deprivation and level of society. Education was playing an important role, and age and gender to a less strong degree. Now, for our study, we can say that there is a social gradient, maybe not as pronounced as in HLSEU. And also, of course, we have to consider some differences by countries. And again, we had, of course, more countries. We had different type of data collections. It wasn't so standardized as the HLSEU study was. We have financial deprivation being the strongest predictor in HLS-19, followed by level of society. Gender, being a woman, predicts better health literacy, except in 2 cases. Age and education has a mixed effect, and long-term illness also predicts a lower health literacy in our study. So maybe summing it up again, we have a social gradient which is less pronounced, and our main limitation is that our study was less or limited in standardization, as well as in the type of study design, but also at the time of data collection. As I said in the beginning, data collection happened between November 2019 and May 2021. So just 1 month ago, it was finished, and we had all this corona crisis and different situation in this time. So thank you very much. That's it from on that part, and happy to receive your questions.
Are there any questions? Well, I would like to pose one question, Christa. I think these results are quite interesting, but also alarming, actually. Sometimes it seems to me we take it for granted that there is a social gradient, but actually that is something that, from my point of view, would need attention, that difficulties in processing health information are highly related to are highly related to social disparities. And I think that should be highlighted in the discussion on social disparities in health, actually. So, and I think a strong hint that there would need to be more discussion on social inequalities with regard to health information is that the results haven't changed or have only slightly changed since the old HLS EU study. Maybe you would like to comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I completely agree with you. Yeah, this is highly alarming. Yeah, and in our study in HLS-19, one of our aims is not just collecting data and showing some results, but really also developing policies for the WHO European region, where we really point out where something needs to be done. Yeah, and our results point in the direction that financial, social inequalities have a large effect on health, health behavior, health status, healthcare utilization. This is something where Dominika will also talk to you. And there is really a need for action. And of course, if we look at the study that was done 10 years ago, HLS, HLS EU, and we see that there is hardly an improvement, or maybe in some countries even not even an improvement. I mean, the world and the type of information on health, yeah, has actually not became easier. It has gained more complexity. And while we here are just talking about general health literacy, in parallel, our colleague Diane Levin Samir is talking about aspects where she also includes digital health literacy, and there is just so much more aspects that need to be looked at. We did look at it at some parts, but we do not have room here, but at some other symposiums you will get information on that.
Thank you. Robert has a question or a comment.
It's a question, and the question might be difficult, because what you presented here, what we see is that there is an association between, a strong association between financial deprivation and the degree of health literacy people have. But if we see behind this association, we have to ask us the question, what does that mean? If we find an association between the level of education and health literacy, we have an idea what that means. So people who are not that highly educated have problems to read and to understand information. But what does it mean if you have an independent effect from that? That people who are financially not that well off have a lower literacy score. So what is the explanation behind this association? And we have to understand that when we want to go into policy recommendations.
Yeah. I mean, Robert, I think you raised a very, very important question. Yeah. And I think, as you said, this is something we need to understand, and we need to look very precisely and very deeply into that if we want our policies to make a difference. And there will be some thinking on this, and it already started. And the good thing is that we're having 17 countries, we're having this EMPOL network, we're having quite a large consortium that work with us together to reach such an aim, to finally have some recommendations, good recommendations to improve health literacy.
Are there any other questions or remarks?
I think there's one in the chat, but might.
Oh yeah, there's one in the chat. Ah yeah, how was financial deprivation measured? Salary or some other measure?
Okay, it was self-assessed. Yeah, where people could themselves. Say with different questions, for example, if they have difficulties at the end of the month paying their bills, yeah, if they have difficulties paying for medication. So we had three questions, and it was self-assessed. Basically, HLS-19 is a tool where people doing self-assessment, and we do not have objective data like actual salary or actual healthcare utilization, but people would say, I am going to the doctor 6 times a year, for example. So it's a self-assessed tool. I hope this is answered. Thank you. And there's something more Dominika will talk about.
So I think Maya will, Maya wants to have the presentation. I don't know if that will be possible. I don't know how it's organized, actually.
Yeah, I don't know either. Basically, these are still unpublished data. You're first to know. Yeah, we're still in the process of doing analysis. You have heard that data collection was only completed in middle of May. Yeah, so we're still working on that. And this is kind of a first glimpse. But Maya, we will release our report in November. And then this should go public and should really be seen. And we will already have policy implication then as well. So just keep your eyes open. There will be more to come.
Great. Then one last comment from my side. You showed the data on migration background, which for me, my second hat is I'm a migrant health researcher, are always very interesting. But although not surprising that they don't show significant results, and that again hints at that we may need different concepts of assessing migration, and that may be the better idea to have specialized studies, as you already said, because once you put migration as a variable into multivariate models, you lose so much of information, because that's not something that can adequately build up the migration history or migration in society of many countries. So I think there is a huge loss of information, plus in population-based studies, that it is always difficult to catch migrants, and you have such a heterogeneous migration population in many countries that is difficult to build up in population-based studies. So there should be, I mean, these results should be interpreted with caution, actually, yeah, and make clear that there is a need for specialized studies adequately looking into the phenomena of, or which reasons might lie behind the curtain when it comes to migration and health literacy, actually. Robert has another comment before we have to move on, I think.
A short comment on that. If we want to know or learn more about the differences between people with migration background and not, we would have to differentiate this heterogeneous group of people with migration. We normally just dichotomize in people with a background and people who have not, but this is a very, you know, simply way of looking at things, and we cover all interesting things with that and don't release the interesting information. But if we would go deeper into that, we would need much more bigger sample sizes and have to oversample, or as you mentioned, would need a specific study on that to uncover all the interesting stuff that would be in it, and maybe we would have to ask other stuff as well additionally to cover that.
Thank you, Robert, on this comment. Maybe just to say that some countries did make efforts and look at the migrant aspects more in deep, and also the translation of the HLS-19 tool in migrant languages. One of these countries is Norway, but I also believe Germany did some efforts on this, but Norway already has released a special report on this. They had the presentation some days ago. So maybe we can learn from them. So thank you. And I would like to hand over to Dominika.
Okay, shall I share the screen? Yeah.
Yes, please.
Okay. Perfect. You can see, right? Yeah, so the results which I will present now are again on
Dominika,
the...
just one hint, we still see a small slide with the video on your presentation screen, at least I do. Maybe you could just make that small.
You cannot see only slide now?
It's fine.
It's fine. Okay. So the results which I present now are again on behalf of Jürgen Pelikan, Thomas Ling, Christa Strassmeier, and ICC team. So my presentation is about results concerning associations of health literacy with indicators for health lifestyles, for health status, and for usage of professional health services. I just wanted to note here that I will present results which are based on 15 countries, so not including Bulgaria and Italy, because yeah, we just received recently the results. So first of all, I will present health behavior and lifestyle as one of the three consequences. So background and measures used. So as already Christa mentioned, using the HLS EU integrative conceptual and generic model and the Vienna model of health literacy as theoretical framework for selecting determinants for HLS 19. In HLS EU, four indicators were measured, but to the comparison to current study, we used five indicators, which are body mass index, smoking behavior, alcohol consumption, and physical activity, and to addition for the lifestyle variable on fruit and vegetable consumption. So for these four last one, we used so-called four groups. So these groups are like, for example, never, occasionally, light smoker, or heavy smoker. So the same holds also for alcohol consumption and in physical activity and fruit and vegetable consumption. We can say, for example, never, occasionally, often, and every day. What is a research question here is how strongly is general health literacy associated with selected indicators of health behavior? So one of those I just listed. So let's have a look into some results. Here we can see Spearman correlation between general health literacy, some selected indicators, and also selected determinants, which already Christa was talking about. So these are age, education, level in the society, financial deprivation, migration, and also here is training in a health, yes or no. And on top, we can see those variables indicating health behavior and lifestyle. So exercising and fruit and vegetable consumption are positively highest correlated, followed by smoking, alcohol consumption, and exercising. So what we can see here, on average, general health literacy is correlated negatively and just very weakly with body mass, body measure index. But what we can expect here, for example, BMI is correlated with age, which is kind of intuitive, and also with gender. So if you are female, you have a tendency to have lower BMI, for example, or if you are female, you have tendency to have lower alcohol consumption. But yeah, these are data. So on average, correlations of the indicators of health, behavior, and lifestyle with social, demographic, and social economic indicators are somewhat higher than the ones with general health literacy. This is a correlation split it into individual countries. As I said, the gender and age is quite highly correlated with BMI, which is expected. So here we can see a result of a regression model. So this is the similar table as Krista already presented. And since I will show you several of those tables, I will just quickly describe what does that mean. So for regression purposes, generalized linear model was conducted from survey package in R. So in R software, every regression model was performed. The values here are standardized beta coefficients of simple linear regression. So always we have as a dependent variable the consequence itself. So in this case, body mass index, BMI index, and the determinants plus general health literacy as a predictors, as an independent variables. What we can conclude here that on average, just 8% of the variance is explained by the model, and general health literacy has only minimal effect on BMI. And if the value is in a bold, it means that the variable for specific country is significant, and in this case, it means that p-value is lower than 0.01. In this row, we can see R-squared adjusted. So on average, it's really not high. Next one is smoking behavior. And here again, we can see correlation with smoking behavior and the rest of variables. A very low inconsistent association of general health literacy with smoking behavior is on average, we can see here, minus 0.03 even. Again, some correlation with age and gender. So rather low explained variance is by the model on average 6%. So it's not really high, and low and inconsistent predictive value for general health literacy. So only for Austria, Portugal, and Russia is general health literacy significant. But what we can see here, for example, positive standardized coefficients over all countries except Belgium and Slovakia is positive for financial deprivation. So this is kind of consistent for overall countries. And age variable is more or less also significant for all the countries. So coming to alcohol consumption, well, here we can see really a pronounced correlation for gender. and the rest is not really pronounced. So compared with smoking behavior, even lower association of general health literacy with alcohol consumption is displayed. Okay, but the model explains a bit more than for smoking behavior. So it explains 10% of the variation, and general health literacy on average is a minimal predictor. We can see here is -0.02. But interesting, for every country, the gender is significant without any exception. So coming to physical activity, on average and compared to other lifestyle indicators, there is a somewhat higher association of general health literacy with physical activity on average. And general health literacy with few exceptions, rather positively and linearly associated, which we can see in the first row. Yeah, for example, for Portugal, Russia, Slovenia is quite high, Slovakia. Again, the same table. So regression table and standardized coefficients are displayed. And we can see that indeed general health literacy is across the countries more or less significant, with some exceptions, France, Switzerland, and Israel and Portugal. But in this case, general health literacy is the strongest predictor, with on average 0.09. So we can see some relation or association with physical activity. Last variable for this lifestyle consequence, which is fruit and vegetable consumption. I can see some association or correlation with financial deprivation or level in the society, and also gender, but not so pronounced. And health literacy is nearly as highly correlated with fruit and vegetable consumption as with the social demographic and socioeconomic indicators. Again, the resulting table, the model only explains 6%. And the significant variable is really gender, with the highest average among the others. So in HLS EU, four indicators were measured for health behavior, as I said, and in HLS 19, the association of health literacy with fruit and vegetable consumption is strongest predictor, followed by physical activity. Variations between countries need to be considered, as we mentioned already. They have to analyze these differences on their own. And limited standardization of the study design. So, for example, type of data collection, type, because also migration, as you could see, was not included in the model, for example, but only these five core determinants. Going to health status. Again, the research question is the same. How is health literacy associated with three indicators of health status? So here we have only three kind of dependent variable in the model. So self-perceived health with five groups, long-term illness, three groups. So it is like non-ES1 or ES more than one, and limitations by long-term illness. It's severely limited, limited, but not severely and not limited at all. This is important for in understanding of correlation. So three health status indicators, which I just mentioned, we can see them here, are highly correlated. So here we can see 0.51 even. And self-perceived health and limitations is negatively correlated, and it is what I mentioned on the previous slide, because the order of the groups are just reversed. And general health literacy is correlated with three indicators with a coefficients between -0.12 up to -0.21. So in this case, general health literacy, yeah, is quite correlated with self-perceived health. Let's go to correlation, which displays again country by country. And we can see the, yeah, quite high correlation with self-perceived health overall countries, with some exception, and also age is quite highly correlated with self-perceived health, and so on. Maybe financial deprivation is also saying some association. As we can see, significant is again overall countries for age, except Belgium. Level in society is significant really for every country here. And the linear regression model explains 22% of the variance. As we can see, the most strongest predictor on average is age. And then on the same position is general health literacy with level in society and financial deprivation. Long-term illness, again.
Dominika, you have 5 minutes left for your presentation.
Okay.
Better three or four.
Okay, I will just conclude the most important things. Long-term illness correlated with age. And again, we can see some significance over countries with exception of Switzerland here for financial deprivation. Here we have how the person is limited by this chronic illness. Again, correlated with age, financial deprivation. Similar results as a previous variable, but going to some conclusion, in HLS, there is a strong association of health literacy to these three indicators of health status with most pronounced expression for self-perceived health, followed by limitation by long-term illness and health problems. A last one, healthcare utilization. I will just present two of them, but you can see on this slide which utilization we investigated. So for example, emergency services within last 24 months, general or family doctor, medical or surgical specialist, and so on. The five healthcare utilization indicators are correlated with each other positively to a certain degree, which you can see on this top of top part of the correlation. And medical or so on average from 0.19 up to 0.4 even. Okay, let's go to some result. Age is quite significant over all countries with some exceptions for when we are investigating family utilization of family doctors. Here we have utilization of medical and surgical specialists, and again, age is really pronounced and significant for every country here. So it's related to medical and surgical specialists. Okay, so I will just probably conclude. In HLSU, no direct effect of health literacy on frequency of health service utilization was found. In current study, there is no strong association of health service utilization, but slightly lower health literacy predicts slightly higher utilization of emergency services, of family doctors, and of inpatient hospital services. Yeah, okay, so thanks a lot. And if you have any questions, just ask. And yeah, we could see a lot of tables. I know it was a lot of information, but yeah, I can answer your questions.
Any questions? Yeah, Gemma.
Hi, sorry. Maybe you have explained this and I didn't quite catch it. What were the questions used to measure level in society? Level in society. How do you measure this?
Maybe I've answered this one because it was on determinants. It was a measure that is also used in Eurobarometer. And people are asked on a scale of 1 to 10 to assess where they would put them on the level of society. If 1 is the lowest and 10 is the highest, I mean, where would you actually situate yourself? So again, it's of course self-assessed. There's 10 levels and people would add where they feel they would place themselves.
As a meaning of respect or validation of your...
I haven't got the wording exactly here. It's a level of society in a sense of social status. Yeah. Does this help, Gemma?
Yes. So okay. my next question then. So to be clear, because English is not my first language, so I was wondering if I understood. So having a general health literacy, higher or lower, that it's not strongly correlated with BMI, smoking. So everybody knows smoking is bad for you, but I keep smoking. Everybody knows alcohol consumption is bad for me, but I will just keep drinking. Is that what I understood about the presentation?
Yeah, it is really not highly correlated with general health risks. So as I said, most was physical activity and vegetable and fruit consumption. So more fruit you eat, or so on average, your general health literacy is tend to be higher. Yeah,
because I work, I've been working in a clinic, people with obesity for 10 years, and I've noticed that everybody knows what they have to do to eat better and to exercise, but they don't do it. They don't know how to, or they cannot. They don't have the tools, the purpose or whatever, but they know, they have good information. So that was what I have in my professional experience, and just seeing it here just confirmed that.
May I just comment on that, Gemma? I think the challenge is really, it's not just knowing what is good for somebody, but people being able to apply knowledge. Yes. Yeah? And this, of course, is also health literacy. But especially in the issues of smoking and alcohol consumption, you also might have this issue of addiction. And then actually, it's very difficult to knowing and controlling, yeah, or knowing and applying. Yeah. So. And in our case, our study just shows that there's low association and we cannot explain much with health literacy. But mm-hmm. other parts, as Dominika has shown, physical activity, fruit, vegetable consumption, so nutrition, we have more explanatory, mm-hmm. more predictive power, actually.
Robert.
Just comment on that. The health literacy is a rational thinking. If you have the information and if you know, then you do. This is the idea behind. But we know a lot of our decisions we make in our everyday life is based on a lot of other stuff, emotions, your attitudes on something, your possibilities, having time to do something, or being strict enough with yourself. There's a lot of other stuff going on around this. If I know, then I do. And from this perspective, to say is that we see that there is this idea, if you know something, then you can do something. We can show in our data that there is some explanational power, but it's just one piece in a lot of other stuff. So if we would assume a very high impact on just one single concept on behavior, I think that would be, I don't know the right word now. It would be, exaggerated in a way.
Thank you, Robert, for your comment. Christa, would you like to make some closing remarks for the session? Because it's almost one.
Thank you, Eva, for handing in. So my closing remark is to thank you all for participating. It was great to have you. Thank you for your questions. And just to invite you to follow our activities and keep your eyes and ears open, because in 8 November, we want to go public with our results and also with our policy interventions. And of course, the greatest thanks is to the participating countries and their teams, which is always teams from research and teams from policies. So thank you very much and enjoy the conference.
Thank you also from my side. Bye-bye.